Good morning and welcome. This morning we're going to be looking into a new text in Genesis chapter 23. In this message I've entitled The Challenge to Trust in this series of fresh commitment, the call of spiritual renewal. In biblical times, few things were more important than wells. The landscape was dry and rocky. Water was scarce yet desperately needed for personal use, for watering livestock, and for growing crops. The hard surface made digging wells difficult, so productive wells were valuable. When the Philistines opposed Isaac, they tried to stop the blessing of God on his life by stopping up the wells or just forcing him to leave and find another source of water. There was also a drought that made water even more difficult to find. Let's take a look at the story and see what God has for us. For us today in ministry with him. Let's read our text in Genesis chapter 26, beginning with verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And then if you drop down to verse 12, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. And so the Philistines envied him." Now, the Philistines, in verse 15, had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." And then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah, and he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. And then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So they made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." So they called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Let's notice a few things from our text about trusting God in tough situations. First, God desires to bless his children. Look at verses 12 to 14, the first part of it. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants." Listen, this describes the incredible blessing of God on Isaac. He was the son of the covenant promise made to Abraham. And the great news about the promise is that all nations would be blessed through it, including us today. Jeremiah declared that God has a plan to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jesus proclaimed that if we know to give gifts, how much more our Heavenly Father? Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And then Paul asked the same question in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Don't miss a very important principle of truth. God is motivated by his grace. By his grace. And not by our efforts. The blessing on Isaac's crop and the successful hunt for water came on the heels of Isaac's disobedience. He lied about his wife's identity and failed to trust God's instruction. What's the point? Well, God is not obligated to bless you because you act in a certain way. Sometimes God chooses to bless his children just because he wants to, even though they don't deserve it. God is not obligated to bless you because you act in a certain way. That's the reality of it. God is motivated by his grace, not by our goodness. He blesses us because of His mercy, not our merit. He opens the windows of heaven because of His love, not because of our loyalty. Isaac lied. He refused to trust God. He deceived others, and he took matters into his own hands. But God blessed him anyway. So God desires to bless his children. Second, God also commands his children to dig. He chooses to bless them, but he commands his children to dig. Look at verses 2 and 3 again. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." Isaac's supernatural harvest and well-digging journey teaches us that divine blessing is a process. It's not a winning lottery ticket. The Bible says that Isaac planted and harvested in the same year as the famine was going on. God caused a supernatural harvest. He could have just as easily rained the crops from heaven, like he did with manna in the wilderness. Jesus could have fed the multitudes without using the boy's 5 loaves and 2 fish. But you know what? God allows us to participate in the blessing. That's the God we serve. God partners with us for his purposes. And what are those purposes? Well, let me give you 3 results when Christians cooperate with the Lord. 3 results when Christians cooperate with the Lord. First, God's blessing drives a wedge between the believer and the world. But that blessing should show the world that our lives are different, not prevent them from being saved. Knowing Christ should make us love our spouse differently than those without Christ. And the world should be able to see that difference. Knowing Christ should make us raise our children differently than those in the world. And that difference, people should notice that we're with Christ. Knowing Christ should make us act differently than the unsaved family members, the neighbor, an acquaintance, a fellow student, or a co-worker. God led Isaac on a journey to Rehoboth, which means a place of open spaces. Verse 22 again. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." There was space between Isaac and the pagans. One of the tragedies of our day is that there's very little space, there's very little difference between Christians and the world. Sadly, there's often no Rehoboth in our lives. A lost and dying world looks at us and says, "Why should I follow Christ? You aren't any different than me." People were attracted to Jesus because he was different, not because he was just like them. But the paradox of the wedge is that it provides a witness. Isaac's enemies finally went to him and said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." And that's what the world should see in our lives. And that wedge that comes between us and causes them to be suspicious, that causes them to doubt our relationship with God and its purpose, eventually that wedge should turn into a witness of God's work in our lives. They should be able to see that God is with us. We tend to think of witnessing as a one-time personal encounter where we present the gospel, give out some tract, and call for someone to accept Christ. Isaac inspired a group of enemies, not friends, not just acquaintances, but a group of enemies. He inspired a group of enemies to acknowledge God by the way that he responded to adversity. How do you respond to problems and trouble that comes into your life? Do you fret and worry? Or do you trust God and watch for what he is about to do with that situation? And it become a witness to him and to your relationship with him. The way you handle ridicule, how you respond to a crisis, how you build relationships, how you work with integrity or demonstrate faith during an illness is often more powerful and a more powerful witness than giving out a gospel tract. So, digging also leads to worship. Look at verses 23 to 25. And then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. In verse 3, way back in verse 3, God promised Isaac that he would be with him. But it wasn't until verse 24 and several wells later that God said, I'm with you. I'm with you. God promises to be with you, but you can go through some trouble. You can do a lot of work. You can trust him. You can walk with him, and you can keep having problem after problem after problem when God has promised he's going to show himself with you. And then at some point, he confirms that presence. I am with you. After the first couple of times, they had to move. Isaac probably thought, I don't know if we're ever going to find water. There's a drought, and the wells were filled with dirt after they dried up. We're doomed. After about the third time, Isaac most likely began saying, come on, guys, let's see what God is doing. What he's going to do this time. I don't know where we're going, but I know he'll provide. I know. Isaac learned that blessing is determined by God's grace, not geography. He began to seek first the kingdom of God, knowing he would provide all his needs. He developed a personal faith in God, not just an awareness of the God his father worshipped. He built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. You see, every one of us grow up in our home. If we have a Christian parents, if we have parents of faith in Christ, we grow up in that. And we go to Sunday school, we go to church, we go to Bible, we get involved in all kinds of things, but we're actually following our parents' faith as we do those things. At some point in our lives, we come to a place of crisis. A place of crisis where we have to question whether our parents' faith is going to become our faith, or whether we're going to go some other way. And at that moment is when we take on our own personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We put our trust in Him. We surrender to Him rather than just following our parents' leadership in the church, in their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And it says that he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. Franklin Graham shared some insight into the need to develop personal faith. In his autobiography, he wrote about some of his rebellious exploits, from smoking cigarettes to shooting down his neighbor's tree with 720 rounds of machine gun fire. Franklin stated, "People have often said to me, 'It must have been easy for you to believe in God since your dad is Billy Graham.' I tell them, no one can choose to believe for you. You must choose to follow Christ yourself." Isaac learned that he could not receive blessing based on his father's reputation, but he needed to personally follow the call of God. Country singer Paul Overstreet wrote a song about this Bible story. He reminds us that we might not always understand what God is doing at the time, but we can keep digging wells. He wrote, "Ike had a blessing from the Lord above, who gave him a beautiful woman to love, a place to live, some land to farm, two good legs and two good arms. The devil came sneaking around one night and decided to do a little evil to Ike. Figured he would hit old Ike where it hurt, so he filled up his wells with dirt. Ike went out to get his morning drink, got a dip full of dirt, and his heart did sink. He knew it was the devil, so he said with a grin, 'God bless me once, he can do it again.' So when the rains don't fall and the crops all fail and the cow ain't putting any milk in the pail, don't sit around waiting for a check in the mail. Just pick up your shovel and dig another well. Just pick up your shovel and dig another well." Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your servant, Isaac, and this whole narrative of these digging of the wells and Isaac coming to the place of putting his trust personally in you, not just living off his father Abraham's faith. And Father, each one of us, we need to come to that place where our faith in you is personal through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would bring each one of us to that place. Those of us who have not trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and that we would surrender to your Lordship in that trust, that we might demonstrate your faithfulness in our lives, that there might be a witness to those who are watching in this world. Lord, we can trust you and walk with you and keep digging wells. And one day, you will show us your power for your blessing in our lives. Father, I just pray that you would do business with each one of us, those of us sitting here, those of us watching or listening online, and that you would have your way in our lives. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.